Welcome to lesson number 9 in our series on contextual psychology. I'm Dr. Richard Nongard with Peachtree Professional Education, and I hope by now you've taken some time to ask some questions in our online forum. You can do that, of course, at www.changeworkforum.com. That takes you right to our social media webpage, and you can feel free to ask any questions about the course content, and there are literally hundreds of other members of this forum who are also licensed mental health professionals. It is a closed forum, which means only those who are members of the group can see the posts. But of course, please leave out any identifying information about clients, certainly, and perhaps even about yourself as well, since it is the internet. I want to talk about dialectical behavioral therapy in this lesson, and DBT has been quite popular since the early 1990s, but DBT is also an evidence-based treatment protocol. There is a mountain of evidence to show its efficacy in what it was first designed to treat, which is borderline personality disorder. Most people have been extremely frustrated by personality disordered clients over the years, almost viewing them as untreatable, and that simply is not true. We can help our borderline clients move to a higher level of functioning, but in the process of applying DBT to the problems of those with borderline personality disorder, applications in areas such as eating disorder treatment, self-mutilation, and other fairly aggressive psychiatric conditions have been made, and they've been made with tremendous success. DBT is a form of therapy that combines cognitive behavioral techniques and mindfulness to teach clients to regulate their emotions, tolerate distress, and to improve relationships. Those are really the three chief goals. I've always thought that one of the most important areas in psychology or counseling is to help clients learn how to tolerate distressing situations. Scott Peck made millions of dollars in the 1970s writing his book, The Road Less Traveled, and the reason why isn't because it was a particularly good book. It's because the first line was awesome. It was, "Life is difficult." People opened that book and said, "Oh my gosh, this book is about me. I better spend the $10 and go buy it." And so they did. Most people need to learn how to increase their distress tolerance skills. And DBT is a therapeutic approach that specifically does that. Dialectical behavioral therapy, of course, was developed by Marsha Linehan in Washington. The book she wrote, I think it was in 1991, maybe 1992, it's called Skills Training Manual for the Treatment of Borderline Personality Disorder. By the way, the book was not called Dialectical Behavioral Therapy because the publisher didn't feel like that would sell. People wouldn't know what it was. So it was called Skills Training Manual for the Treatment of Borderline Personality Disorder. It is probably on your shelves. It's one of the best-selling psychology books. And this was really the first book on dialectical behavioral therapy. She recognized that the established cognitive behavioral therapy structure had a limited effect on treating the core problems in personality dysfunction. And she recognized that in CBT, something was missing, particularly when dealing with individuals who engage in self-injurious behaviors, parasuicidal ideation, etc. The additional techniques of mindfulness, which we've discussed in regards to many other therapeutic approaches, teach people with borderline personality disorder to regulate their emotion more effectively and to help them deal with overwhelming negative emotions. And those are, of course, characteristic of the borderline personality disordered client. In contrast to cognitive behavioral therapy, dialectical behavioral therapy offers patients an extended therapeutic framework rather than a traditional brief therapy approach. Sometimes people say to me, "What about long-term care?" And as I mentioned, there are some clients who have more catastrophic difficulties than others, and even though I tend to favor a brief therapy model, DBT is one of those models of contextual psychology that we can utilize on really a long-term basis with our clients. There's tremendous support for dialectical behavioral therapy as a structured program, and DBT, kind of like mindfulness-based stress reduction, is a specific training protocol. It is a structured program, and the structured program of DBT has been well researched and is certainly considered an evidence-based approach to therapy. People who complete DBT programs have been found less likely to engage in deliberate self-harm, suicidal attempts, over a year of observation. Participants in DBT have been found to have less inpatient psychiatric stays than those who didn't engage in the program. And this was also largely maintained at a one-year follow-up, and that's really important for those who work with catastrophic mental illnesses. Individuals with borderline personality disorder who underwent a protocol of dialectical behavioral therapy had lower depression scores, less deliberate self-harm, and improvements in anger, hostility, hopelessness, and dissociation. Now think about the clients you work with. If you could implement techniques that could reduce feelings of anger, hostility in particular, hopelessness, ameliorate self-harm, and decrease depression, wouldn't you want to implement those strategies? And so in this lesson, I'm going to share with you the structure of dialectical behavioral therapy, the stages of therapy, but I'm also going to talk about specific methods that can be useful to help you help your clients experience success. Now, in a traditional program of dialectical behavioral therapy, there are two components, and they're viewed as equally important, individual therapy as well as group therapy. I am a big fan of group therapy, and I'm a big fan of individual therapy, and I love both modalities. I know a lot of professionals in private practice, though, that do not facilitate any group therapies. And this could be for a variety of reasons. Their offices are too small, or they don't feel like they could get enough clients together to form a group where it would be, you know, worth the time commitment to the group for the financial rewards that may be available related to reimbursement, etc. But certainly many of us do offer group therapy in the context of our private practice offices, and certainly in outpatient and certainly in hospital settings, that is going to be one of the norms and something that's going to be available to really most of us. In dialectical behavioral therapy, the individual therapy component involves the therapist and patient having an ongoing discussion about issues that come up during the week and recording it in a journal. That's really important. I'm a firm believer that when we write something down, it becomes reality. You know, there's really a process. I talked about affirmations in a previous lesson. A thought needs to become words, and words need to become written. Deliberate self-harm and suicidal behaviors are the first priority in individual therapy. And one of the things I love about DBT is it does not try to tackle every problem at once. It really ranks the problems the clients have. That's part of the assessment process. And then skills that are learned during group therapy are further reinforced during individual therapy. And individual therapy is usually structured on a weekly basis during the first 12 months. It tapers off as people practice and implement these ideas on their own. Because remember, even if it's dialectical behavioral therapy, even if it's a more difficult client or a client with a more catastrophic set of conditions or diagnosis, we're still ultimately, our goal ultimately is still to have them leave our caseload, to be able to function independently. Group therapy is generally provided about 2.5 hours a week over a 12-month program. Some groups might run biweekly. The goal of groups really is skill training. That's the main focus of group therapy, with the underlying group dynamics and cohesion coming into play. In a lot of therapeutic modalities, underlying group dynamics and unanimity of the group is the goal. In DBT, it's really more of a patient education setting. And even if clients are at different functional levels or enter or exit the group at different times, resulting in decreased cohesion, group therapy is considered to be successful. DBT offers clients the benefit of one-on-one therapy as well as interactive skills training in group sessions. And this is really one of the aspects of DBT that I love the most. There are a number of stages of therapy. DBT incorporates a model of treatment that has four key stages. Its approach prioritizes problems that are urgent and addresses these at various points in therapy. Within each stage of the DBT program, different things are addressed. And stage one is about helping a client to gain control over one's behavior. It's about moving from uncontrollable behavior to becoming in control of behavior. And a ranking of what behaviors are most important to address are made during the assessment process. Suicidal behaviors, this is the order, followed by behaviors that interfere with therapy. For example, an alcoholic who gets drunk and comes to therapy. Followed by behaviors that impact the quality of life. Not getting out of bed and going to work, for example, and so they don't have enough money to pay their bills. Followed by specific skills training. And one of the things I love about TBT is my first question in therapy is really a question for me. I know that a lot of people in therapy, they say to their clients, so what would you like to work on today or what happened since last week? But really the first question in therapy is for me. And the question is, what does my client who's sitting in front of me not know that they need to know in order to choose to do something different? And it's my responsibility in my therapy session, I believe, to teach my clients those skills. You know, I've worked in a lot of drug and alcohol settings, and I meet clients, believe it or not, who really don't know how to not drink. They don't know how to say no to others. I work with clients who really don't know when they're depressed how to do anything other than pull a sheet over their head and stay in bed. I meet clients who, when they find themselves in crisis, literally do not know any other way for calling for help other than parasuicidal ideation. And so I have to ask myself, what does my client need to know in order to choose to do something different? And these questions, by the way, these skills can be very practical. For my client to change their life, maybe they need a job. Maybe what I need to be teaching them in my office is how to get a job. Clients really don't know what they need to say on an interview, how to be assertive, how to kind of get their foot in the door and move from the receptionist to that person who can actually hire them. And so skills training really is important. I have balanced a lot of checkbooks with couples during couples counseling because they literally did not know how to manage money, and money became the therapeutic issue that was presenting. First, DBT aims to target behaviors that are self-destructive and life-threatening. Second, those behaviors that interfere with therapy. Third, those behaviors that impact their quality of life. And four, provides a set of skills training that is particularly and uniquely useful to the client on our caseload. Stage two in therapy, is about helping my clients to experience emotions fully. The second stage aims to help clients experience negative emotions without reverting to dissociative, avoidant, or being overwhelmed with symptoms of trauma. This is similar to ACT therapy and acceptance. The therapist works with the client in this stage to teach them how to experience all of their emotions without the emotion taking over. And the techniques of mindfulness-based stress reduction, the techniques of ACT therapy, the techniques of deliteralization and cognitive diffusion can be particularly helpful. In fact, I think it's in lesson number 11 in the series, I'm going to spend time specifically talking about cognitive diffusion. What this helps them do is to experience negative emotions without being overwhelmed and relapsing into impulsive and destructive behaviors. Those who work with clients with PTSD find that when treated during this stage, the client learns some basic self-control, something they felt had been taken away from them because of the trauma. In stage three, the goal of dialectical behavioral therapy is moving towards managing everyday problems. Once they manage their emotions and have control over their destructive behaviors, they can work towards managing ordinary everyday problems. Those associated with relationships, work, study, finances, etc. And then the fourth stage is being connected. You know, nobody ever got well alone. Our clients, one of our focuses in therapy needs to be moving our clients towards a state of connection with others. And stage four of the DBT process is about being connected. The final stage of DBT involves assisting a client to feel complete and connected to their world. Some clients might find that even though they've moved through stages 1, 2, and 3 and have their life to some extent the way they want it, they might still feel empty or disconnected. And so this stage, the fourth stage, involves synthesizing the success of the former three stages into the client's identity. And we can even draw from solution-focused brief therapy to do that. Progress through the stages is not linear. It will overlap at times during the therapeutic alliance. But the purpose of DBT is to encourage the patient to acquire a set of skills to a sufficient level that they will have satisfactory quality of life and control over their behavior. We've talked about mindfulness throughout this course, and the reason why is that in contextual psychology, it seems to be a foundational recognition within each of these different modalities that mindfulness is a skill that can be taught to clients and a skill that they respond to effectively. And this is, of course, what the research shows as well. Again, back to scholar.google.com, simply type in effectiveness of mindfulness training. You're going to find incredible results. But in DBT, there are three primary states of mind that mindfulness is utilized to address. There are three primary states of mind that are addressed in dialectical behavioral therapy. And the first is reasonable mind. This is when a client approaches things logically and engages in planning behavior and focused attention when approaching problems. For example, planning for an event in advance. Mindfulness can be focused on the emotional mind. The client in the emotional state of mind when their thoughts and behaviors are heavily influenced by their feelings, and also by the wise mind. When a client is in this stage, their reasonable mind and emotional mind are integrated. They have intuition, they have a sense of what feels right and wrong. And this comes from practicing mindfulness. It doesn't come from attending a lecture. It doesn't come from earning a psychology degree. It actually comes by practicing on a daily basis mindfulness with intention. Dialectical behavioral therapy teaches specific mindfulness skills. And of course, your application from this course is take these skills, type them up on a handout, give them to your clients, and spend time in your sessions teaching your clients what it is that they need to learn. The first skill that Linehan talks about is observation, the observative mind. This is the part of the mind that observes experience in the current moment. That's why we focus on the breath, because it's something to observe, and it's a practice for observation. Describe. The next part of learning mindfulness is to describe the experiences that come into awareness. So when a thought or emotion arises, the client learns to put words to it. I encourage my clients this way. And when you have anger, simply say to yourself, that was anger. If you have fear, say to yourself, that was a fear. Thich Nhat Hanh teaches mindfulness, and he teaches that the name of something is important. And so when we breathe in, call it in. That's its name. And when we breathe out, call it out. That's the name of the exhale. In, out. And by observing and describing, by calling something its name, we get in the habit of doing this, which of course you can see is all tying together, was part of Martin Seligman's idea in positive psychology. Another mindfulness skill to cultivate is participation. To develop mindful awareness, the client needs to practice the skills. And so whether in group or individual therapy, participating fully is important. Another skill, and one I've talked about in previous sessions of this lecture, include non-judgment, being able to focus on the what and not their interpretation of the sensation. And then the idea of one mindfully. This is really a core mindfulness skill that crosses the spectrum from Buddhism to psychology to every approach within the discipline of contextual psychology. It's a core mindfulness skill that teaches clients to focus only on the present moment, one thing at a time. By the way, things are not unique to one discipline and one discipline only. Some of you will recognize this from Alcoholics Anonymous, one day at a time. Effectively and effectiveness. this aspect of mindfulness teaches the client to focus on what works, on what is really most effective. And the approach of dialectical behavioral therapy is, as I said, to a large part predicated on skills training. That's why the book that Linehan first wrote, there have been numerous books since then that are included in the bibliography for this course, focuses on three things: interpersonal effectiveness, emotional modulation, and distress tolerance. Interpersonal effectiveness is one of the most important skills to teach. This is because it can be used really in a variety of contexts, attending to relationships, balancing priorities versus demands, balancing our wants versus our shoulds, something that Albert Ellis talked about in cognitive behavioral therapy, and then in building mastery and self-respect, which is, by the way, something I think is sort of underrated. I actually think that working with clients to help them build self-esteem, and in particular, self-respect and mastery of skills, is probably one of the most effective skills that can be taught, and yet one of the least often taught skills in psychology. These skills help a client to feel competent and effective when interacting, rather than helpless or dependent. I love teaching my clients assertiveness. In fact, back in, I think it was about 1994, 1995, I was doing a lot of work with probation departments and training probation officers in a variety of subjects related to mental health. And I wrote a book, it's actually still on our website, called The Getting Along Workbook. And it was really a workbook to help clients, whether it was couples counseling, criminal justice clients, substance abuse others, learn to master the skill of interacting with others in a non-helpless and non-dependent way, using assertiveness. And that is one of the key interventions, I think, to help people heighten their level of self-respect. Clients need to be taught three main goals and relationships in interpersonal effectiveness. And I'm going to share those goals with you because I think they're really important. And the first is object effectiveness. And the goal of object effectiveness is for the client to use interpersonal skills to obtain something that they want. Assertiveness, of course, does not guarantee you will always get what you want, but it teaches a client to be assertive, and they increase their likelihood of getting what they need, what they want, or sharing a feeling. Dialectical behavioral therapy, like some of our other approaches, seems to love acronyms, and the acronym here offered in DBT is Dear Man: describe, express, assert, reinforce, mindfulness, appear confident, and negotiate. Dear Man is the acronym that describes the process that dialectical behavioral therapy uses really to teach assertive communication. And I think one of the applications of this lesson for you is actually to take your dry erase board. And I have a dry erase board in my office. So when I'm doing individual therapy with couples, I will often actually get up out of my chair and I'll write on that dry erase board so I can actually teach them something. And I'll write out Dear Man and teach them to communicate object effectiveness by describing, expressing, asserting, reinforcing, being mindful, appearing confident, and negotiating. This is a great thing to teach to couples you work with in couples counseling. Relationship effectiveness. The goal here is to use skills effectively to maintain or to improve a relationship. Clients here are taught that they can get what they want while maintaining a relationship with somebody. Relationship effectiveness involves, first, behaving in a way that makes other people want to comply with your request. Two, behaving in a way that makes other people feel good even though you said no to their request. And then balancing short-term goals for what's best for the relationship. The goal may be to have the other person stop rejecting them or approve of them. And in these cases, relationship effectiveness aims to do this in a way that improves and doesn't damage the relationship. And so the acronym GIVE is used to teach this skill. GIVE. Interested. validate others and have an easy manner. You know, it's interesting, in therapy school, I was actually taught by one of my practicum supervisors an acronym from Lazarus, and that acronym was SOLAR, sit down, open body posture, lean forward, make eye contact, and relax. I kind of thought it was silly that in graduate school they were actually teaching us something like that. I now realize that the value in them teaching that was not because that was a difficult thing for me to do, but because my clients don't do it. And if I want to teach my clients how to have an easy manner in their communication, teaching them SOLAR can actually be effective. Self-respect effectiveness is the third interpersonal skill that is taught in DBT. And the goal of self-respect effectiveness skills is for the client to effectively maintain their self-respect. It aims to maintain and improve a client's positive feelings about themselves and respect their own values and their own beliefs. In the context of getting their needs met, they might learn to act in ways that fit with their morals and make them feel worthy. Self-esteem effectiveness can also be taught, and the acronym used here is FAST, FAIR, apologies, stick to values, and truthful. The acronym Dear Man can help clients improve their self-respect and sense of mastery as they learn to balance what they want with the other person's needs. Give skills enhance a client's self-respect, and these skills can be used at different times or in conjunction with each other. However, clients do need help prioritizing what they want to get out of each situation, such as getting what they want, maintaining the relationship, or having self-respect. And traditional approaches to therapy can help clarify those things. But teaching these skills to your clients will help your clients take better care of their relationships, better care of themselves, experience a sense of balance in life, and help them build on their priorities and self-respect. In our next lesson, I'm going to focus on emotional modulation and some of the skills of distress tolerance training. And again, I'm going to guide you through a process that I use with my clients to help them accomplish that.